distortion of reality. Joining us right now is Greg Gladke, the Capital Bureau Chief for the New Haven Register. And Greg is one of the people who's been covering the mess involving Governor Rowland. And, of course, there's a startling new development now, one which may be the beginning of the end. But first of all, hi, Greg.
Hi, how you doing, Colin?
Now, was that, you know, the other day when Governor Rowland went storming away from the podium and out the back door or something at the UConn Health Center, I thought I could hear your voice saying, "This is a public building." Was that you?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't make that one. But no, I think that's the Waterbury Republican reporter who was contesting his exit, or contesting the security guard's effort to keep Rowland from the media.
Well, clearly, what Governor Rowland needed on that particular occasion, as he so often has, is a little bit more time to think about some of this stuff. And now that he's thought about it, he has released a statement saying that that some of the improvements were paid for by supporters and executive staff members and were not covered by those fabulous loans that he took out. I mean, maybe this is too open-ended a question, but how big a development does this strike you as being?
Oh, I think it's extraordinary. I've been covering Connecticut politics in a number of different administrations, and I can't ever recall seeing any kind of a statement like this from a Connecticut governor before. He's apologizing for not telling the truth to the, not only to the media, but to the people who voted for him, who voted him into a, you know, a historic third term.
And this strikes me, this statement does kind of strike me as a kind of a sea change for Governor Rowland, because usually the way that he's dealt with this stuff is by very stiff denials and sometimes with these sort of slight embellishments where he says, you know, not only is that not true, but I got a loan, and besides, I know that hot tub personally, and its name is Biff, and I, you know. And here we have him kind of basically admitting to a lot of stuff, which he doesn't usually do.
Well, it's in a sense part of a pattern. He has, in the past, when forced to, eventually conceded that that he had done something wrong, and this goes back all the way back to a little scandal surrounding the fact that his kids and some other people in his administration got surplus military gear from the state police when they shouldn't have, and he would apologize and he returned the stuff that is you know, army jackets and things that his kids had accepted. And he, you know, he said it was a mistake, et cetera, and then he wants to move on. And that was true of when he paid for, you know, paid a civic, an ethics fine in '97 over getting discounted concert tickets from the Meadows Theater. And then this past summer, he, you know, paid another ethics fine for various accepting vacations and things from state contractors, the Tommasos, et cetera, and then, you know, paid an elections fine. And each time, you know, he would initially deny that that he had done anything wrong, and then be forced to acknowledge that he had, even if he claimed it was a technical violation, violated some law or some ethical standard, and then make some sort of an apology, or say that he, you know, he didn't understand the law or whatever, and then try to move on, but nothing to this extent.
Yeah.
I think this is remarkably farther along that path than anything that's gone before.
And I think we do have, once again, the situation here where he basically said, I paid for the work, I got loans, and this is such a complete contravention of his. I mean, it's sort of one thing to not know where your hot tub came from. I think it's another thing to sort of have insisted that the work was paid for by you, and then have to admit just days later that there's a long list of people who appear to have assisted you in paying for the work.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a, as we say, called it a sea change. I would agree with that. One of the extraordinary things here that is why his staff didn't prevent him from doing this, from making those statements, whether they are erroneous, at least they were erroneous, and they could be a lot worse than that.
I think what's happened is this, I mean, I think he's a handler's nightmare, and I think it's one of the reasons that David Boomer decided to seek comfort in the tropical climes of Nebraska. Because, I mean, even if you tell this guy, you know, don't say anything. Get up to the microphone and say, we're looking into it. and that's all you're going to say. You're not going to say anything else, okay? And then he gets up there and he says, oh, I got a home equity loan.
Yeah. I mean, he has a tendency to shoot from the lip. That's the standard line that's been used about him for years. And then his staff would have to scramble back, what the governor meant to say, or, well, he got that figure wrong, or, well, the governor was given bad information, and they would try to play damage control later on. But this one is the topper. This one is... This one goes way beyond anything he's done before.
We're talking to Greg Gladke, the Capital Bureau Chief for the New Haven Register. Now, as you see Governor Rowland these days, does he look different? Is his demeanor changing, or is he still kind of able to hold it together? I know, I guess you didn't see the UConn Health Center moment. But
no,
but in general,
the times I have seen him recently, he's been... he's clearly under stress. Mm-hmm. There's any question that he's not dealing with the stress that well. He's feeling the pressure on his family. He has been throughout, until this year, he has had an extraordinary run of good fortune as governor in terms of the having a healthy economy and budget surpluses, and these scandals that would crop up, he would seem to be able to ride out and try to get past. But I think the cumulative weight of each one of these is now bearing down on him, and I think he's having a tough time.
You know, I just called around and I found out George Jepson, who's the Democratic state chairman, is in a literally in the air in a plane right now, I think. But I'm wondering, I'm always surprised at the mildness of the Democratic response to this disclosure after disclosure. And you keep thinking, maybe on a day like this, maybe by tomorrow morning, there'll be a prominent Democrat insisting that the governor has to resign or something. But can you comment a little bit about that? Has it been difficult for you to find Democrats who will speak forcefully about this stuff?
George Jepson has been making stronger and stronger statements, but particularly legislative leaders, they're in the situation of, unless he is going to resign, mm-hmm. They're going to have to deal with him.
Yeah.
It's a fact of legislative life, and to Rowland is not the kind of person that you can deal with on a day-to-day basis if you've been out front calling for his resignation.
And there's that whole matter of bonding packages.
Bonding packages, any number of things, whether it's grants for your city or town as a legislator, or just a piece of legislation that you hope to get through. He still has veto power. He's still governor. He's still insisting that he's, in this latest statement, that he has no intention of resigning. And knowing John Rowland, the chances are that he is going to, I think it will take something quite more extraordinary than this to force him to resign.
Well, Greg Gladke from the New Haven Register, I know it's a deadline day for you and probably a pretty big deadline day at this point, so we do thank you for taking the time out to visit with us.
Okay, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Okay, bye-bye, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Greg, by the way, when he says he's covered some other administrations, Greg and I started covering politics at the same time, which was during the Ella Grasso administration.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
And really, I do think that this is a sea change. And I mean, the reason I asked Greg about the last question was that I am invariably shocked at the mildness of the responses. I mean, you know, when we had sort of the last set of weird disclosures about Bantam Lake, I think it was on a day that you were out sick, and I immediately lined up Jim Amon, who's going to be the next Speaker of the House after Moira Lyons, and lined up George Jepson, and, you know, still their response is, well, you know, you never know, and we hate to sort of judge too early and stuff like that. I mean, if I were the state Democratic chairman
or
any highly placed elected Democratic official, I would be saying today, he should resign. I mean, I think it is a reasonable thing now to say that this man is significantly untruthful about important matters, and I have no trouble saying Governor Rowland should resign. He should resign within the next 48 hours, and I can't believe there isn't any more political pressure against him to do that. He has now really kind of crossed that point where there's any going back. I mean, he can't really get his credibility back after this. This whole Bantam Lake thing, you know, it's In terms of the money that's involved compared to the money that was involved in Sylvester, the money that's potentially involved in Alabozek and Tommaso and all the kickbacks there, the numbers are incredibly small. But the way that he has handled this and the way that he has just placed it into the pattern that we've talked about, that we've heard about in the Alabozek case, is mind-boggling, is stupefying, and the level of untruthfulness about this is enough so that it would be an easy call for me, if I were Speaker of the House or Democratic Majority Leader or something like that, to say, he's got to go, he's got to resign, he should do it now.
522-WTIC, 800-966-WTIC, it's Star WTIC from the cell phone. We're Bruce and Colin here till 6.
Here's the thing, the villagers are gathering with their pitchforks and their torches, and they're about to go up to the castle and make the monster leave. But let me just be the first to say it. You know what we want for Christmas, Governor Rowland? We want you to resign. Give us this as our Christmas present. I hope they did a great job renovating that place in Litchfield, because you're going to be living there. I'm glad you got the extra 400 square feet, because it's your new home, okay? I mean, it's either that or Homewood Suites, babe, because, you're not staying at the mansion too much longer. It's time to go, and we do have some calls. But you want to talk about the little auction item there, too, as well?
Oh, yeah, just quickly. We do have a bracelet from...
Hold on here. Mm-hmm. This well is clearly bottomless, and we can't just keep going back and pretending that everything's up, taken care of. Oh, now we know it. That's not good. It's okay. It just keeps going on and on. And clearly, some of the statements he made about this were out and out lies, said on purpose, not mistakes. He's not admitting that they were out and out lies. He is admitting that what he said was wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that's enough.
Well, yeah, there's almost no other way to understand this at this point other than...
He just made too many statements.
Mm-hmm.
You should consider writing fiction, because many of them make sense. It's a plausible story. Too bad it's not true.
Well, Peter, thank you very much. Now, since you're the newest state legislator and you're the first...
No. There's a newer one. He's a Republican. He'll call in.
Oh, yeah, the guy from Waterbury, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're the second newest state legislator. Now, I'm just wondering whether this is like sort of playing a country music record backwards now. Eventually, all the Democrats, in order of the most recently elected one to the one who's been there once, are they all going to sort of do this one by one now?
I don't know.
Right.
It would be fine with me. We can't all line up calling for his resignation fast enough, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
Been for Rel in 04, but it looks like it could be even earlier.
Yes, absolutely. State Representative Peter Terciak from New Britain, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bruce. Bye-bye.
Just to sort of put Peter's comments, Peter's an outstanding person and somebody that I like a lot, but one reason... that he might have some of the feelings that he does. If you recall, for a while during Peter's campaign, Governor Rowland sent David Boomer in to run the Republican campaign. That's how much Governor Rowland, A, hates Peter, and B, hates 1199, the union with which Peter is prominently identified. So if you're sort of wondering why Peter might be the first in line to demand his resignation, it might have something to do with the fact that Governor Rowland sent his former Karl Rove, the Karl Rove who went screaming into the night to go to Nebraska a couple of days ago because he couldn't take it anymore, to manage the opposition campaign against Peter Terciak.
You got to wonder if more people will call up and call for the resignation.
I think most people are calling right now, people from Governor Rowland. I said before you got here that the car that ran into the arch the other night, I'm just assuming it was another Rowland staffer trying to kill himself.
We'll be back with more. We're at the Holiday Store until 6. We're Bruce and Colin.
Today's musical choice by our producer Bobby Sherwood right there, although I was going to recommend On the First Day of Christmas, Tommaso's gave to me some outside work that was totally free. On the second day of Christmas, Alabozek gave to me a ceiling that was totally free and some exterior work that was totally free, and so forth and so on. Anyway, working on computers rather than the job they were hired to do, which was jerking Slurpees, wouldn't you rather call a local company that can come to you instead of dealing with big computers far, far away in jerk-ass Texas who don't care about your problems at all, and they've never seen you before, and they've never heard of East Hartford, Connecticut? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then get in touch with Tab Computer Systems today. Call 1-888-TAB, the numeral 4-HELP. the boss is leaving. She's like walking out now, edging towards her car. And get the computer services and support your company
needs.
She's
getting on a map of Texas right now.
That's affordable. For instance, Tab small business maintenance plan with rates as low as $36 per hour. And all of Tab's computers and file servers come with 3-year warranties on parts and labor. Save time, save money. Go local with Tab Computer Systems. These are the geeks, Eric and TJ. You can hear their hideous show on our station tomorrow, and that will probably inspire you to call them. They're now in their new, larger loser facility in East Hartford, and always on the web at TabComputerSystems.com. TabComputerSystems.com. Teach this boy to talk. Tab is a registered trademark of Tab Computer Systems Technologies Advancing Business. And we're back. We're live from the Holiday Store on behalf of the Salvation Army. Here are the shops at Somerset Square in Glastonbury. And
you know something?
What?
You know, we're pretty good fundraisers, as we proved by being here. Yeah. We probably could have helped the governor out a little bit with some of this stuff.
Also,
if you just called us.
You're a handy fellow. You could have come over there to...
I could have been more than happy to put in the counters.
Yeah, or you could have done a little countersinking for him.
Yeah, I could have done that.
You're at your best when you're countersinking.
Thank you.
We do have a bunch of calls here. I don't really know how to identify any of them. Bob...
Jim would be calling.
We're going to talk to Jim in Windsor.
Yeah. I'm thinking Rillon ought to resign. I think we ought to wait for him to be impeached and indicted.
Yeah. Do you think those things will happen?
I don't know if he'll get impeached or not, but I'm looking forward to him getting indicted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Nebraska. I don't blame Boomer for running off.
You know, I'd go back to Nebraska, too, if I were him. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Yep.
All right, bye. Oh, no. I love that was actually... That was actually Chris Christopherson right there.
Oh, that's probably enough.
Here's Joel calling from his car. Hello, Joel.
How you doing, Joel?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
I
have to laugh when I think of something Dean Fagani said about 2 or 3 weeks ago when he was asked to comment about a Journal Inquirer article. The Journal Inquirer, you know, has been relentless in their pursuit of this thing for months. And he said, why does the J.I. insist on dragging up all this stuff? Why don't they just report it honestly and fairly like the Hartford Current? And the Hartford Current never had anything to say about this until just recently. And just recently is when everything started to come down and all of the rumor and innuendo started to turn into fact that the man is a liar.
You know, I reckon, Joel, when he said that about the Hartford Current, he was just poking his stick down a gopher hole, you know, because he stirred up the Hartford Current, you know.
That's it. I mean, he fired them up to say, hey, well, if the J.I. is getting all this press, let's look at the facts even harder.
It's like taunting a bunch of prairie dogs. It just makes them madder. What we say out in the prairie, out in Nebraska, where the wind blows strong all day long.
All right. Phone number is 522-WTIC, 800-966-WTIC.
There'll be a little necktie party up on Prospect Avenue.
Star WTIC from the cell phone. We're Bruce and Colin.
Prices, Sleepy's, the mattress professionals.
Partly cloudy tonight and partly sunny for tomorrow. We'll have snow on Sunday. More traffic and weather together coming up in 10 minutes on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hi, I'm Governor John Rowland.
And I'm Patty Rowland. The holiday season is a time of celebration, a time for family, good friends, and good cheer.
But the holidays can also bring heartache from injuries and deaths caused by drinking and driving. Did you know that alcohol is involved in more than half of all fatal car crashes in our state?
During this holiday season, everyone needs to be more aware of the dangers involved with drinking and driving. If you choose to drink, don't get behind the wheel.
Even small amounts of alcohol can impair your driving abilities. So use a designated driver or use a taxi. It's not worth risking your life or the life of someone else.
We all have the power to make this a truly joyous holiday. Drive safely and drive sober. And remember, always wear your seatbelt.
Together, we can keep our families and friends safe. From our family to yours, may you have a blessed and happy holiday season.
A public service message from the Connecticut Department of Transportation.
This is Connecticut's source for local news.
Local news.
With news at the top and bottom of every hour. WTIC News Talk 1080.
An Infinity Broadcasting Station.
WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC Hartford.
It is 5 o'clock with Bruce and Colin, and now... WTIC 1080 News. Bill Pierce is here. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
No, I'm not.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Bruce. Governor Roland has released a statement admitting that some political supporters and friends helped pay for some of the work done on his Litchfield cottage. The governor says some of the work was paid for by supporters and executive staff members, not covered by the loans he took out. The governor says he paid out $30,000 for the improvements. He says in addition to that, workers from a Southington company paid for the ceiling, while employees of a company owned by members of the Tommaso family did the exterior work. The governor says none of the people mentioned in this received any benefit from his office or the state in exchange for their assistance. In a statement released by his office, the governor, as we just mentioned, admitted accepting free construction work. State ethic rules forbid public officials from taking gifts from people who do business with their agencies. Ethics Commission lawyer Brenda Bergeron says the commission at this point has no comment.
We can't ever confirm or deny whether or not we're looking into someone. We have confidentiality. There's a confidentiality law that prevents us from being able to provide that kind of information.
On WTIC's Connecticut Today program, Lieutenant Governor Jody Rell told Jim Vicevich that she's been asked repeatedly about the situation.
I'll tell you honestly, I've said this over and over again. I'm sick about it. I'm sick at heart, and I'm disappointed, and I'm a little bit angry. But I also have to say that we have right now an investigation going on, and we have to let that investigation run its course.
Halliburton, accused of price gouging for fuel in Iraq, says it welcomes the full review. President Bush sees the whole thing as evidence the system is working. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has more.
If the U.S. government is being overcharged by Halliburton, President Bush says he expects that money to be repaid.
We're going to watch. We're going to make sure that as we spend the money in Iraq, that it's spent well, spent wisely.
In the president's view, the Pentagon is doing a good job looking out for taxpayer funds in Iraq, and he sees no reason to distance himself from Halliburton, a company once run by Vice President Cheney that won big no-bid contracts in Iraq. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
A 19-year-old soldier from Stafford has...
Well, Andy Pettit is going to Houston to join his workout buddy, Roger Clemens. So David Wells will have to set the fitness standard for the Yankees from now on. It's time for Sports Atois, the very French sports discussion segment of Monsieur Arnold, Dean Michel, Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
And a perfect choice he is.
Well, you know, it depends on what kind of fitness you want to have.
He's probably lifting weights even as we speak.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Always a hard worker.
Is there more to be said about this Andy Pettit situation?
Nothing.
I'm impressed with my attorney, Bernie. I'm impressed with his influential friends. He's got very big connections, and I follow his directions. Bernie knows his way around, and so I always do what Bernie recommends.
Well, actually, Governor Roland's attorney, I believe, is that guy, the new guy that he got, William Dow, is a D-O-W, which perhaps is going to turn out to be pronounced
Dow!
Generally, if he continues to handle things, I mean, you got to feel sorry for anybody else to handle Governor Roland. Because clearly, I'm sure they all tell him the same thing. Just go up there and say that you're looking into it. Don't say anything else. Don't say anything that can be proven wrong. Don't take any positions. Don't say you have home equity loans or you know which hot tub. But just say, we're looking into it. Just keep looking into it. And then he doesn't do that. He goes up there and says all this stuff. Well, joining us right now is a member of the loyal opposition, and in fact, very specifically, the majority leader of the House of Representatives, Mr. Jim Amon. Hi.
How you doing? It's really hard to hear you guys. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll yell louder. Actually,
okay,
you're kind of hard.
Thanks.
You're kind of hard to hear, too. Well, obviously, you know the newest developments, I assume. And does this sort of, I know I talked to you about a week ago, does this change your position on Governor Roland? I mean, do you have, we just heard Peter Terciak about an hour ago say that he thinks Governor Roland should resign. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think I was, too happy with what the governor's been doing for the last few years. But, you know, certainly when you stand in front of the public and you tell them basically falsities through the entire news conferences all week and then finally come clean is too little too late. I think it's as everybody said, it's beyond disturbing. It's shocking, and I'll tell you, somebody's going to write a good book about it someday and make some money, but in the meantime, the state of Connecticut has a black eye. We'll continue to see what the FBI investigations say, and we'll see if this governor will be able to make it through his administration through the final 3 years of his being governor.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? What are you guessing is going to happen?
Well, it's easy for a Democrat right now to criticize, throw a brick at the guy, push him into his political graveyard, but the governor has done that himself. He's in that predicament. I guess the only question is now, has he been buried alive? Can he survive it, or is he dead? And the only way we'll be able to see that is to see, again, as I call it, the death by a thousand cuts continues in the revelations against this administration.
Well, do you think that he should resign?
Well, I think, again, there has not been any formal charge against the governor yet as far as, corruption or anything else like that. Time will tell on that. Certainly, we're all innocent until proven guilty, but certainly it doesn't look good at all for the governor. This is the most ethically challenged administration in the history of our state, and we need to see what happens in the days to come, and like I said, these charges continue and he is affected doing his job as governor, then certainly we as Democrats and Republicans, and by the way, I'd like to know where the Republican Party has been on this for the last couple of years.
I'd actually like to know where the Democratic Party has been on this.
And he has to make that collective decision for the goodness of the state of Connecticut.
Well, Jim Eamon, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks. Always a pleasure talking to you, gentlemen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Boy, there's another profiling, waffling. Jeez. If in fact Governor Rowland were running away from Nicole Brown Simpson's body with a bloody knife in his hands, would somebody in the Democratic Party besides Peter Terziak want to resign? I mean, really, what does it take? What does it take for the opposition party? I mean, Jim Eamon just had the audacity to come on the air and say he wants to know where the Republican Party is. Where's the freaking Democratic Party? How come these people can't just stand up? This is a situation today where Governor Rowland has basically admitted that he has been lying through his hiney about this thing for days on end. And the guy who's going to be the next Speaker of the House doesn't have the guts to get up there and say, look, he can't be governor anymore. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious to the average citizen at this point he can't be governor anymore. He has no credibility left. And the only way that he can continue to be governor, the only way that he's able to just sort of hang in there, he's like one of those hornets that you try to kill and you just like throw handfuls of gravel onto it and it's still kind of writhing around there in the dirt, and just never quite seems to die. Well, one reason for that is that the people who are supposed to actually call everybody's attention to what's wrong don't have the guts to do it because they're scared of him. They're scared that he's going to screw them on some kind of bonding deal. They're scared that he's going to veto some bill. They're scared that he's going to survive somehow. And then they're going to have to deal with him. And it's going to be like, Cape Fear. Robert De Niro at the end of Cape Fear, where he's still alive somehow. And I sort of get that. But still, how hard would it be just to say, he should, on Monday morning, he should just come right out there and say, I'm really sorry, I made a real mess of things. And you know what the truth is? It is going to be the Republican Party that's going to have to make him resign, because they're going to have to go to him and say, if you stay here any longer, we're not going to have a party. If you stay here any longer, we'll have no workable mechanism to get anybody elected for years. All right. So are there callers? What are we doing now?
I think we have some callers.
All right.
See who we have next. We've got Betty calling in.
Betty, okay. Hi, Betty. Or Patty.
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 Right.
Hi, Patty.
All right, Patty.
Whatever.
Sammy.
Fred. Harry. Somebody.
We're about to talk to somebody.
Hello, somebody.
You're on the air. All right, this is maybe not the most ideal. This is maybe not the most ideal system in the world. Well, okay,
wrong women.
Get that Diana Taurasi FaceTime. Well, I think I'd like to begin with just the speech that Governor Rowland gave today, which I assume was written by the great wordsmith Larry Cohn, although he appears to have had some assistance from Dr. Zachary Smith from Lost in Space. I'm sorry,
wordsmith.
Don't hurt me. Kill the robot and the boy, but not me. No, no. But actually, perhaps his most stirring moment of eloquence, Governor Rowland said, God whispers to us in our leisure. He speaks to us in our labor, and he shouts to us in our adversity. Do you know what God is shouting right now? Get the F out of the governor's mansion, you lying sack of swill. That's what God is shouting.
Sounds kind of harsh for God.
That's what God is saying right now. He's saying...
His probably sentiment is exactly that, but he's God, you know, he's got to be careful.
He's saying, no, he doesn't have to be careful. We have to be careful. That's the whole idea of God. That's the God I know anyway.
God's got an image.
Yeah,
I mean, there's an image. I mean, you know,
yeah.
You can only do so much.
Well, he's not supposed to have an image. He's supposed to worship graven images. But so anyway, yes, God shouts to us in adversity. And Governor Rowland, what he's saying right now is, Resign. Go away. That's what God is shouting at.
How politically astute is it anyway for the Republicans to be gathering around and rallying support and all that stuff?
Well,
that doesn't seem to be like the brightest thing to be doing. But
well, first of all, you know, over the course of Sunday and Monday, there was some rallying around of Governor Rowland, mainly by Nancy Johnson, who's determined to... I mean, basically, Nancy Johnson has built her marvelous political career on the premise that the people of Connecticut will believe almost anything. And so she's decided to extend that to the idea that insisting that Governor Rowland is a viable politician at this point. Now, I would say that she is distinct from Chris Shays, who basically handed Governor Rowland about half a cup of hemlock. You know, it was like a hemlock wheatgrass mix that he handed him. Because basically, you know, when you look at what he said, you can stay as long as nothing else is coming out. Well, lots of things are coming out. So, I mean, I think it's incumbent on the press to go back to Chris Shays the next time something comes out, which, I mean, you know, really set the freaking egg timer, you know, and say, okay, something came out now. Does he have to go? And because, I mean, Shays gave himself plenty of room to swing the club at Rowland. Now, you want to see somebody swing the club at Rowland, and believe me, it will not be that miserable pack of loser hacks who call themselves the Democratic leadership here in the state of Connecticut. What a pathetic bunch of sheep.
What, have you been eating nails the last couple of days?
I'm just repulsed by these people. And you tell you the truth, I mean, I was just sickened by Jim Amon's appearance on our show on Friday. What a...
Seem to be a little upset by
I was
that.
Throwing stuff around the holiday store while he was talking. I was so mad. I mean, you know, this is the guy who's supposed to be Mr. Get Tough. Oh, what a loser. What a spineless loser. The whole bunch of them are a bunch of spineless losers.
What did you do in your...
Well, I got mad. I started on getting mad, basically.
2 days off.
I don't believe this stuff, you know? I mean, it was bad enough that they were such a bunch of chicken wussies that they were afraid to campaign against Rowland in the last election. They wouldn't campaign with Curry because, you know why? Because they're scared of him. They've always been scared of him because he's bigger and tougher than they are, and he's going to pull their binding packages and veto their bills and give them wedgies and pink bellies and stuff, and really, they got no freaking guts.
Not if you're not in the governor's office anymore.
No, I mean, but you know what? You're not going to get him out of the governor's office if you're afraid to stand up to him, and they've been afraid since day one. Now, I mean, the other possibility is that some of the big money guys like Peter Kelly and John Droney are sitting on them a little bit because those guys have been, you know, just arm in arm with Rowland from day one, certainly from 1998 forward. So maybe they have no interest, and they're the guys who control a lot of the flow of money into this party. Maybe they have no interest in taking Rowland down or making him look really bad, or because they'll make themselves look bad, because you know they've basically been working with him. You know, they've been in a satanic collusion with him since day one. Well, anyway, finally somebody said something strong. It happens to be Rob Simmons,
that noted Democrat.
And I quote from Keith Fano's piece in the Journal Inquirer today, in the most stinging rebuke from a Republican so far, and almost the most stinging rebuke from a Democrat, I might add, U.S. Representative Robert R. Simmons criticized John Rowland today for behavior that, quote, degrades our democracy, quote, and, quote, undermines public confidence.
Really?
Yes.
and the second district congressman from Stonington stopped short of calling for Roland's resignation, but said the governor should consider stepping down if any more scandals arise involving his administration.
What is the quota on this, by the way?
Well, that's
how many scandals have to arise before somebody goes, huh, maybe you should go now.
That was what my problem was with Amon on Friday. If, in fact, this were the first thing, then I would kind of understand a certain level of decorum. But, you know, we had Enron and CRRA, which Roland turns out to have not been truthful about. You know, we've had all the Sylvester stuff, which hasn't really splashed up on Roland. We had the Republican credit card, where he was basically dishonest when he was asked to explain what had happened. We had the vacation homes. You know, we've had all this stuff, and then we had about a week and a half of just lying and lying and more lying. And then finally, on Friday, he just did this core dump where what happened was his lawyer couldn't take it anymore. Because if you're the lawyer, his lawyer is this guy named William Dow, and basically, if you're the lawyer, I'm sure what you say is, don't say anything. Please don't say anything. Go up there and say, we're looking into it. And so Roland goes up and goes, well, we're looking into it. You know, and anyway, I got a home equity loan, you know, and that's the same hot tub that was over. And he just tells all these things that are complete lies that he doesn't even need to say. And I think what his lawyer finally said is, look, butthead, let's get 53 pages of stuff on the record right now so that you won't be saying things that aren't true anymore. If I can't get you to say nothing, then we're at least you can say this stuff that, you know, I mean, and I think that's where this kind of core dump came from. I think his lawyer just said, we got to tell them something. Let them chew on this stuff as opposed to the lies you keep telling. Let them chew on this stuff for a few days. Let them look at the Looney Tunes checks and stuff like that. By the way, plot is to Dana Whalen for being the first person to spot this, that in all this 53 pages of junk. Apparently the Roland family has Looney Tunes checks. That
what?
They have Looney Tunes checks that have, like, Bugs Bunny hitting Elmer Fudd with a golf club or something.
Oh, that's great.
Which just says it all.
Wait a minute. The governor and his wife have checks with Looney Tunes characters on them.
Looney Tunes characters on it, yeah.
That has a certain decorum to it, doesn't it?
Could I just say one thing? Maybe this could be worked into the impeachment hearings.
That's all, folks.
That ought to be somewhere in his upcoming State of the State address, all right? The budget address or whatever he gives it in February or March.
But that's all, folks.
And then just go away. Today also, you know whose demeanor I do not get is the demeanor of Governor Roland's wife, Carmela. I mean, Patty, today, okay, listen to this now. Today, the governor gives this address where he is apologetic, and he says, oh, I'm sorry, I failed you. Kill the robot and the boy, but spare me. But,
worse.
It was a real lost in space kind of moment. So he's cringing and craving and licking people's boots and stuff like that, which is appropriate. Patty Roland is talking smack with the press. She actually delivered some kind of poem today, and according to Fan of Speech in the J.I., Mrs. Roland took shots at individual reporters, accusing them of hounding her, her husband, and her family. She joked about hearing noises in her home and even spoke about one reporter falling into the hot tub. This was all some kind of comical poem she delivered. And she said the first lady also said the media embarrassed our mama McKenzie, referring to Joe McKenzie, who we'll get to in just a second. Well, you know, can I just say something? A grand jury is investigating all this. I mean, the news media is not hounding you. I mean, do you get that yet, Mrs. Roland? Because if you don't figure it out pretty soon, the next person you'll be writing a poem for will be Wally Lamb, if you know what I mean.
Very good.
You can try your children's book plots out on Wally down at York if you don't figure this stuff out pretty soon. Because basically, the news media did not cause this. And not only that, Mrs. Roland, but your husband got up last Friday and admitted that he'd been lying about this all along and that you've been taking stuff from contractors. So the time for getting uppity and talking smack with the news media is gone. I mean, smash mouth time is over. And I would say the same thing to Joe McKenzie, who I actually know, and despite our difference in politics and the fact that she's, you know, been where she's been all this time, there's something that I kind of like about her, because she's so outrageous. But, now, Well, according to this, is our meeting from Phantom Story again in the Journal Enquirer. Rowlands and McKenzie.
Yeah, but that's just a tabloid newspaper.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Rowlands and McKenzie had given a gift for the cottage. Well, that's interesting. McKenzie said afterwards.
Never happened before.
Yeah, McKenzie said afterwards that she, quote, did a couple of things, unquote, but noted that, quote, I did not pay for anything, unquote, which is also the policy of Governor Rowland, I like to point out. But when asked whether the workers who improved the governor's cottage had done repairs on her house, McKenzie replied, don't be fresh. I'm not going to answer that question. I just want to say, when you're in front of a grand jury later this week, Joe, I wouldn't try that don't be fresh thing on Nora, on Nora Dennehy.
Yep.
You
know,
you might just consider parking the line, don't be fresh, outside the grand jury room. They don't tend not to like that kind of stuff.
Right. 20 after 3. So we'll take some calls, 522-WTIC, 800-966-WTIC, and star WTIC from the cell phone.
Bruce and Colin shall return.
I also wanted to talk about something that you have failed to remark upon, my new glasses.
Oh, those are nice.
They really are nice glasses. I'm very excited about
them. Have you shown them to Dana yet?
These are the most happening glasses that I've ever owned in my
Dana's
life.
Dana's checking them out.
Yes. Yeah,
so She's impressed.
Let me tell you something. The way she just looked at me in my glasses, I could be like Mr. News Director, if you know what I mean.
Hi, it's Bob, owner
in a car. Eric, hi. You're on WTIC.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Colin, I just had a question. I see your name and face in the Hartford Current probably as much, if not more, than Joe McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, all the events you go to, do you pay for all your drinks and entrance fees?
You know, I for the most part do, but when I don't, it doesn't matter because I am not an elected state official. I am not bound by the same code of ethics. I did not go before the voters of this state and ask for their trust. I am not in a position to receive things from contractors. When I have conflicts of interest, I try to declare them. I try to declare them here at the radio station.
You have to.
Yeah. And yep. And so, you know, have I ever gotten a free drink somewhere? Absolutely. Am I bound by the same ethical considerations as the governor of the state of Connecticut? No. And anyway, we're not talking about free drinks, are we, Eric? We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of contracting assistance and money and gifts. We're talking about hot tubs. You know, we're not talking about free drinks now, are we?
I think I saw a crane lifting a hot tub and up fairly close to your apartment the other day. So.
Okay, I did get one hot tub.
All right. Why is it that when somebody has done something wrong, automatically we find somebody else and we try to make them look like they're doing something wrong so that it's okay for the person who was doing it originally?
I saw a letter to the same effect written to the Hartford Current about, you know, Hartford Current writers and stuff like that. Listen, I mean, Hartford Current writers are, in fact, their full-time staffers are bound by a code of ethics and stuff like that. But in any case, there's no real analogy. We're talking about the governor of Connecticut accepting thousands of dollars.
Well, the voting thing that you brought up is the important difference.
Yeah, of, you know, freebies and contractors and stuff like from contractors. And, in fact, yes, he has asked the state of Connecticut for our trust. And, I mean, he's the governor. He is, in fact, held to a higher standard than just about... He ought to be held to a higher standard than just about anybody. He obviously hasn't been.
Phone number is 522-WTIC, 800-9...
Pharmacist. Mm-hmm. So a physician might let a pharmacist know that they can go ahead and prescribe that.
Yeah, I mean, apparently you do have to sort of tell somebody, and mm-hmm. and I guess that's the problem. I mean, first of all, I do find picking stuff up at the pharmacy anyway is kind of a weird enough thing, and it's kind of like the person at the desk, they kind of rattle around in the bags, looking, and they say, you say your name, and they look for the bags, and they look back in the room and say, Thorazine? And you say, yeah, that's it, that's me.
Yeah, there's not a lot of privacy today, even between our pharmacists. And, yeah, it doesn't matter what drug we're talking about. Everybody knows your personal private business. And imagine all the hoops that someone needs to go through to have access to this, even right now. And I'll give you, for example, a woman faced with a broken condom on a Friday night
mm-hmm.
whose doctor's office is closed over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Might have to wait till Monday to obtain a prescription for EZ and then actually go find some place to fill it. And that's, we're talking 3 days already, and that window is closing.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out, and we assume that the FDA will embrace the panel's recommendations. That's what they've done in the past with other stuff, but... Of course, this is the Bush administration.
Yeah, and that's why it's really exciting news. And there really was overwhelming support on the committee. I think it was 25-4. We're looking for a decision in February. But we're hoping for good news. Because it would be really a right step in eliminating a barrier the use around emergency contraception and really improve women's health.
Well, Laura Cordes from Connecticut Neural, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
From Connecticut Neural, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye. Actually, in Helmecki's case, women often take the morning after pill before dates with them. It's been kind of an unusual test study in the world. I do love it when they go to, I don't have to read a cancellation, but I do love it when you go to the pharmacy and they do that thing where they're like, you know, you say your name and then they go and they say, how do you spell it? And you have to spell it. There's like 20 people standing there. And then they say, and they get the bags out and they go, okay, McEnroe, Colin McEnroe, yes. Okay, so that's
the guy on the radio?
That's right. That's the Thorazine, the Wellbutrin, the Ritalin, the Paxil, the Neurontin, and this is the mood stabilizer, the anticonvulsive drug they use on pandas. Okay, we've got all that. Here you go, sir. It'll be $192.
Yeah. Do you expect actually cheerleaders to jump up on the counter and go, C-O-L-I? Yeah, we do have, excuse me, Platt High School will be closed Thursday and Friday in Meriden due to a roof leak, and the Christmas concert is postponed for tomorrow. That's Platt High School closed Thursday and Friday due to a roof leak, and the Christmas concert tomorrow is postponed. So that's from the WTIC Storm Center.
But if you click your heels together, the Tomasos will run right down and fix it.
Especially disguised as squirrels and woodland animals.
That's right. Yeah. You know what I wonder is, like,
it would actually be more funny if it weren't so pathetic.
Yeah. I wonder also if the Rollins did thank you notes, too. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Alabozek, thank you for the patio stone. It goes so well with the heating system. We also, you know, that kind of thing.
You know? Do you find it quite interesting when you see him doing those public service announcements for driving and the prescription for a safe holiday season?